It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, Tyrus here. The wise men couldn't make it to the show this week. Aaron did something. So we're taking a look back on one of our classic episodes. So get your popcorn ready and enjoy the episode of Tyrus and the Wise Men. What it is, welcome to the Wise Men. And before we start, just so everybody knows, I'm sure everybody knows by now, but Trevor beat me at 74, so let's just get that out of the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Let's just get that out of the way.
It was a very hard-fought fight.
Yeah, and I had a chance to lay your ass out for a month, but my damn kids were in the front row, and they looked at me, and I just put the damn bell down, and then you rung my bell, and next thing I know, I'm shaking your f-ing hand, and you're...
yes,
you know,
bro.
But it's a, hey, hey, he was the better man that night. He was the better man that night. And he got the job done and I didn't. And all respect given, but yes. I will be back. We'll figure it out. But well, congratulations, sold out you. Crowd.
Yes, we did. Yep. We sold that out, bro.
We did. Like, Nick, wherever you're at, in your little hole crying, looks like there were tickets in my book after all. Not that I'm the guy that has to be that way, but I am that way. So, you know, you run your mouth eventually, you know, most people would apologize. But again, it's not about that individual because not everybody can be a wise man. But,
Can I say something?
Oh, go right ahead, champ. Something? You can say whatever
please,
you want.
Please. I want, on a serious note, I wanted to tell you thank you on how serious you took this whole thing.
As soon as you realized
that you were going to wrestle me for the heavyweight title, bro, you went into another gear and worked your ass off. And you're still continuing to work your ass off. And for me, that was a huge sign of respect, not only for you to be ready, but for you to be prepared for what's ahead. And I appreciate that, man. So I want to let you know that, you know, thank you for bringing 100%. You definitely represented, and I hope you are proud of the work we did there, because you should be.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it ain't over. You ain't out of it yet. You know,
I've got right. No, I know.
But there was a lot of surprises that night. A-Rai, Kevin,
yes.
made
yes,
his return yeah. to a wrestling Kevin locker room. Kyle.
Yes, sir. And very grateful that you know, you guys had had me there, and I was honored. And, you know, I saw that main event. I was about 30 feet from it, right, the whole time. And it was good. It was you know, a very aggressive. Are y'all okay now, though? I mean, that's the question. Are you guys good? Have y'all squashed it?
I mean, other than, you know, a little bit of a bruised ego and feelings. But, you know, I got my ass right back into the gym. I went right back to work, you know.
Well, you were.
I saw a little bit of a shake. I know there was. That's right. I remember.
Yeah. Doing push-ups on my back. Doing push-ups on my back. I didn't forget that. I watched the match. I couldn't see it at
well,
the time.
Well, if you would rather Tyrus trade, like, if oh. you would, I would happily trade 2 bulldogs on your neck for yeah, 2
Trevor, he did
for
the,
push-ups.
He did the same. Yeah, he did the same thing to you in the match that he was doing in the gym. I saw.
Yes. He obviously wasn't swollen enough. I couldn't miss that part.
Yeah.
You know,
he was very proud of himself. Like he took a second and he went, "Ha ha." And then right. 3 or 4 push-ups, looking at the camera and smiling the whole time. That's when I think things went south.
Control of the match at that point.
Yeah, I was in control, and like I said, it was physical, and everybody slept real good that night as long as we didn't roll over. And Aaron, you had an eventful night. So much for retirement.
Well, you know what? I've been kind of called to managing, but like one of the things I wanted, you know, to comment on that, because I did get to see a lot of that match live. When the two of you guys were going at it, what was really cool to me was like the reactions of the fans in terms of like when you guys would, you know, club each other and you'd smack each other, at like the fans' reactions as to like, ooh, ah, you know what I mean? They were really kind of like firsthand seeing like what like the NWA style is, which is two just, again, massive individuals, top athletes, just smacking the crap out of each other. And it was really awesome to see the fans kind of appreciate that, because that's not something they see in pro wrestling today. And I think with NWA, that's something that you're going to kind of, you know, see every time you go to an NWA show. That was my two cents. That's all.
Yeah. I saw two guys that were almost brothers, you know, fighting it out there.
Sometimes it gets nastier when you have a relationship, because, you know, and fortunately once it's over, you know, you gotta, and that's where the relationship, then you really know where the relationship was. And I will give Trevor a lot of credit, because he actually, even though he was extremely proud to retain his championship, he was the first one to console me in the back. So that, you know, because it was tough, you know, my children were there. My children's grandfather was there, Haku. And, you know, it was just one of those things where, it was a tough loss. It was my first loss in the NWA. So, you know, not only did I not reach my goal, he also took away my O. So there's two things you can do when you get hit in the mouth, is you can lay around and complain about it, or you can just get back to work. And like I said, I gave myself one day to kind of mourn about it and just kind of look back on it and think about what I could do better. I did a lot of film studies, saw some mistakes I made. And then I just got back to the laboratory and started getting back to work, because that's all you can do, you know. And same, Trevor, he gets back to the laboratory, because he can't, if he's just going to sit where he's at and be happy with that victory, he won't be champion for very long. And that's not just me. I mean, so, you know, the standard has been set, and guys saw it. And, you know, I mean, the thing about the NWA is literally you've got Adonis. You've got Tom, you got Nick Aldis, you got EC3, you know, that's just to name a few. Aaron, whenever he decides that he's going to be a manager or wrestler.
I'm a full-time manager now.
Then like you got your number one client, Rodney Mack. I mean, he's one move away from tapping you out. I mean, he's
Kratos.
Walking.
Don't forget about Kratos.
Kratos is back. I know Aaron's happy to hear that.
We're going to handle that, but
you got the
I'm
Pope.
A manager now, gentlemen.
You know, and then Odinson has really stepped up in his singles career.
Hell of a showing.
So, I mean, you look at just to name a few, everyone, like the top 10 in the NWA is stacked, and you could make an argument. You know, I would still argue that I'm still the number one contender, but, you know, you could make an argument based off of Nick's performance, Tom's performance, EC3 coming on and just laying waste. I mean, he smoked Mims. Mims was number one contender for the World Television Championship.
Yeah.
And Mims didn't take a backseat to anyone. I just don't think that he was ready for what EC3 had to offer, because EC3's head games are almost stronger than his ring game. Like, he was in Mims' head before
Mims
the match even started.
All day.
Yeah.
He was talking to him. You could see Mims trying to figure him out.
Yeah.
And then, EC3's another level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, so
he plays that mental game.
His mental game is strong.
Right?
And then you mess around. Yeah. He's one of, pound for pound, one of the strongest wrestlers in the sport, period. Training with him at Hard Knock South. He doesn't take a backseat to anyone in the gym. So the water is deep. And, you know, Trevor's going to have to deal with him coming from all sides. And I'm still the reigning defending World Television Championship. So it's not like those guys aren't eyeballing me either. So. And then, of course, you got Scion. You know, Jordan. I mean, we got so many different. It's a stacked roster.
Well, and if you remember, Scion's actually holding on to the original Money in the Bank. The national title used to be, if you were national champion, you kind of got to step ahead of everybody and get an opportunity.
Yeah, he can cash it in at any time. And, you know, not there was a consolation prize, but I was also informed that my injunction that I was trying to get that taken off of the World Television Championship, they informed me that, I have – it's the same thing with the World – so all the single titles you can cash in for an opportunity. So, I have mixed feelings on that, just because of the heritage – of the World Television Championship, but it is what it is. But, you know, conspicuous by his absence is Ego, but I feel like we need to talk about it. Like, he was there. He showed up. It was nice. The Wise Men were all together.
Yes.
We were supposed to take a group photo.
The Wise Men were together. Yep. That's right. I remember Ego came up and he actually gave me a hug.
Yep.
And no one got a photo together. Like,
well, it's because we had the issue with the heel cameraman. You know, the guy was a complete. Yeah. You know, he was yelling at people, and although I believe I squashed that, but. So, yeah.
Do we talk about that?
Now, why not? You know, hey, free country, brother. So, you know, it was nothing. It was no physical harm done or threats of any kind. I have several witnesses. But he interrupted a meal of food with friends, and you don't do that. So, you know.
We were mid-conversation. I'll say it. I'll put you over because we all pop for it. We're sitting there having a meal at the end of the show, like you guys know, and where we're at our most relaxed moment. And Tyrus was in the middle of telling us a story, and we were all very interested in what was going on. And this said photographer decides to walk up to one of the gentlemen at the table and just immediately put his arm around him and take him completely out of the conversation and just rudely interrupted what was going on. And Tyrus, being a man of we don't play that shit, basically called this guy out in front of everybody, and he had a little bit of a snowflake attitude, like, what, me? Why are you upset with me not seeing the fact that his actions and what he was doing was completely rude?
I corrected him like a petulant child. Probably the funnest part was when I was like, nobody asked you to come over here. You don't interrupt my table. And he was like, I don't understand why you don't like me. You're fine with me. And I said, I didn't ask you. Now leave. And he left the restaurant.
And of course, when he left, it was your fault.
Yeah.
Because he didn't. You know what I mean? And that's the idea.
And I honestly didn't care. I mean, there was two ways he was leaving. No. His way or my way. And he chose his way. But you're not going to. He came over. He put his armor on. One of the guys, Sal, who had a tough week, and he put his arm around him and was basically f-ing with him and trying to, like, tell him he had heat or something, and I just put a stop to it because, again, you do not interrupt a grown-ass man's table when you're having a meal of food with friends on the last night of a TV taping.
There
was beer. Yeah,
beers.
You know, I owed Trevor a beer, so I said, hey, I didn't talk to you and – because we had 5 days of TV, so I didn't talk. In the last day, I said, "Hey, I got that beer tonight." So we decided to break bread because I needed a few days not talking to him for obvious reasons.
Understandable.
And this guy picked the wrong day to try to be the cool guy in the classroom. And class was dismissed. You know,
class dismissed. Yep.
I don't how someone walks over like they're so cool and cocky and they're not going to mess with somebody. And I was like, first of all, you're the backup cameraman, number one. So, you know, you kind of act like you A-team and stuff, and clearly he's not. So, but enough, I digress from that, you know, and again, I apologize. I told you guys I try to be civilized now. I told myself I wasn't going to go there, but
an emotional loop.
Seriousness, it was rude. And like,
it was
to me, I'm fascinated by just humans, right? Like, and how what they think is acceptable behavior. And I think generationally now, you're seeing a lot of like basic etiquette go out the window.
Yeah.
And it's very prevalent when you're in a store and there's a younger person. And this isn't all young people, but it's more than it used to be, to where there is just a complete disregard for basic like etiquette and just, hello, how are you?
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You mind if I have a word with Sal real quick? No, it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm over. I'm so cool. And he had a little audience watching him. I wonder what they said to him after that.
Well, they were all staring back at our table like we were the bad guys.
None of them looked back at me when I looked. They all got busy. one guy started fixing the table. Like, this table's look at this leg. We got to get a piece of cardboard underneath there. You know, but I'm a nice guy. The waiters loved me. The staff loved us.
Yes, they did.
They waited on us hand and foot. Because why, Trevor? What did I do? What did I do?
Well,
what did I do?
He did throw down he went up to the waiter. He's like, listen, man, if you take care of this table, take care of all of us, at the end of the night, there's a $200 tip waiting for you.
There you go.
And you would have, dude, it was like a dog with his ears perked up. He's like, bing. He's like,
he'd been getting tips all night. Yes. You know, everyone's a superstar in there, and they want superstar service and in the restaurant, but they treat the help like shit. Let's just be real.
Yep.
And I always find I over tip, not because I'm like braggadocious, because I'm going to come back. And when I come back, that waiter's going to see me, that staff's going to see me and be like, you know what? We'll find a table for him, you know, and they
sure
didn't
enough, they did because, the next night.
Yeah, because we were in this little tiny booth and I looked at it and you saw the look on my face like, oh, this won't do at all. And the waiter came by and I said, hey, can you put those two tables together? And he goes, for you, I'll put this entire restaurant together. That is because of we tip and respectful. And there's something
respect.
There's
respect
something
right there.
There's probably something cool about that the rest of a lot of people have just forgot. We'll be back with much more after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Well, and they feel almost as if they're like above being respectful to people. And this is how I teach my children. I'm raising two young men in my house. And I teach them to give respect initially. You give respect right off the top. And if someone doesn't return that respect, then you act accordingly and you treat them accordingly.
Yes, but as I so illustrated.
If you start out the gate with respect, you're going to get, in my opinion, you're going to get more apt. People are going to be more apt to want to do things for you, talk to you, be nice to you, look out for you. Whereas compared to when you're an ass, think you're above people, it just creates that negativity of like, you know, I don't want to do shit for you.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's interesting though, because if you look at, you know, Trevor, your children and then Tyrus's children, right? They are all respectful, polite, and a pleasure to be around. You know what I mean? Like you're not going like, oh no. Cause like there are people in my family that are like that. And I haven't been home in 3 years because of it. But like the way you guys teach your children. And again, this is just basic kind of like 101 upbringing. And I just think that's what's missing, because the contrast is so apparent, because when you're around children that are raised right, like both of yours are, and then other children, like there's just such a wide gap. And it, to me, who has really not a lot of patience, it's like the difference between night and day. So you guys are wonderful parents. And I just spent a week at Trevor's house, by the way.
What I like, what basically is I always treat my children just like I treat myself. Act like you've been there before. Very simple. Mm-hmm. Very simple.
Yep.
Act like you've been there before. And you act a fool, I'm going to whoop that ass. Now, I haven't had to because the fear, and this is Lord Steven Regal, who is, his wrestling career is Hall of Fame, but I always thought his psychology as a parent was phenomenal. He always told me, and this is before I even had children, it was the fear of the spanking that was more powerful than the actual spanking. And he never spanked his children, but the fear of him spanking him, of them, was enough for them to fall in line. Mm-hmm. And now personalities is everything. And again, my son, all I have to do is look at him and be like, I'm disappointed. He'll fall apart. And I think Trevor's boys are kind of like that too, where he goes, hey,
yeah,
you know, you'd have messed up, right? Now, my daughters are like that. The only one who kind of challenges a little bit is Georgie because of her super smart assery. But when I give her the look, she falls in line. So I haven't, I think maybe in diapers, a pop on the butt is the only thing I think I've ever had to do. But I'm very consistent with in public acting a certain way, and at home, so it transitions over, and my kids have they have fun, they do everything else, they get, you know, sometimes you got to tell them to calm down. Like my daughter was stomping a mud hole dry into Haku in the ring, took a swing at Billy Corgan, asked anybody else if they wanted some. The answer was an astounding no. She put genocide in the ankle lock in the middle of the ring. So she was just having a blast. My son, for whatever reason, is 5'8", but all he wants to do is come off the top rope on his poor, sweet grandfather. So, I mean, they have fun. They're rambunctious just like everybody else. just that when, and when they hit that enough button, you know, it's like, hey, that's it. But also we, it's also how you act too in public. You know, Trevor doesn't act a fool in public. You don't see him. Like,
yes.
You know, whenever you see him in public, he acts a certain way and you practice what you preach. Now, if you're an idiot in public or always on your phone and completely oblivious to what's going on, your children are going to do things for attention. But I'm speaking for us both here. But our kids get it. Our kids are our focus when we're with them. So they don't 100%. Need the attention. And we could easily get caught up. You know, I could get caught up in the, what is the Tyrus phenom or whatever the hell you want to call it. But when I'm with my kids, I'm dad, you know, and that's it. The hell with the fame, because that comes and goes, but your kids don't.
Well, and our goal is to try to give them, this is all about giving them the life and the parents that we wish we had when we were younger. You know what I mean? And that fame, we know that's going to go away, but our children are ultimately our legacy. Those are the people that are going to carry on our ideas, who we are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Me and A-Rai are screwed then.
I was going to say a lot of it has to do with cell phones, right, too, and COVID, and nobody's even shaking each other's hands anymore. I mean, we went through 2 years of you know, being afraid to shake each other's hands. And
I got to be honest.
That space is over.
I kind of like the not shaking hands thing. I got to be honest. I like the head nod, you know, or the fist pump, because no one's getting colds because we're not shaking hands.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a – and sometimes I don't – some mother. I just don't want to shake the damn hand, especially like the sweaty palm dudes. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, they just wipe their face or something, or scratch themselves and they want to shake hand. Man, I don't want to shake your damn hand. You know,
or like, they got that pig pen look about them. You know, the smell hits you as they walk up. You're like, oh, God damn. Like, yeah, son, you didn't put deodorant on today. Nux, bro. Nux. Yeah, man. Peace out.
Well, and I also hate, like, the people that – because in wrestling, for those of the listeners that are not familiar, there's this weird tradition in wrestling when you see – you go into a locker room, you shake everybody's hand and say hi.
Right. Yep.
Some people take it too far, right?
And it's everybody's hand. It's not just, like, go in there and get comfortable. It's you make your way around and shake every single person's hand. Yeah.
Yes. Now, the issue is if a kind of, like, a more established – wrestler has been there and are in a conversation with another established wrestler,
right,
like if you walk by, there's that awkward, do I interrupt their conversation to shake hands? And it's just stupid, right?
It's so a very awkward space for sure. Yeah. Yep.
My thing is, I can say hi, but we don't, and this was pre-COVID, we don't need to go out of your way and shake hands and walk across the room. There's just no need, right? And then you get the people that want to pull you in, squeeze your hand a little bit harder than normal and get a little too close and like look you in the eye. Brother, how are you doing today? It's good to see you. And like, man, I didn't need to know what you had for lunch, you know?
Right. It was,
like I'm fed up.
Well, then there's also the, like, I don't mean to interrupt you, because a lot of guys, they're going over things, they're in heated conversations, you know, they're big stars. And then, you're taught to walk in there and it's like, you almost don't want to interrupt them, but you also don't want to get heat on the other side too by not shaking their hand.
Well, yes, luckily, the NWA locker room, if someone came up to me and said, hey, I just saw Kevin Kiley and he didn't shake the boys' hands when he came in, I would tell that person to take two steps back and go f*** themselves. Like, that's not our locker room, brother. You know, we don't negotiate with terrorists. So that's just not going down, bro.
Well, and we're all grown-ass adults.
Yeah, man. Like, hey, a simple hello is fine.
Okay, make it over. Right.
You know,
you're catching them in passing. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't.
Or worse, Jesus that Christ. Little, they try to rub you with the finger to let you know they're a worker. I'll find out in the ring, brother. I'll find out in the ring, dog. Yeah, you know, the little light handshake. I'm like, hey, man.
So horrible.
And here's the cold part. 90% of the time, they're not. They're stiff as hell. No. Like, where was that damn handshake when you just punched me in the eye? You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Yep.
Our locker room is a live and let live locker room, and we all respect each other and we rally behind each other. And I think that's one of the coolest things about the locker room. Unfortunately for Kevin, he had to come in when dear sweet Adonis is talking about the horror stories. Like, oh, man, I love Kevin. Man, I remember all this bad stuff. And I was sitting there going, seriously?
Yep. Yeah.
He just got here. He just got here. You want to you want to talk about his dog dying too in his third grade? I mean,
you want to relive my entire professional wrestling career, professional wrestling career in 30 seconds? I'm like, oh, that's a lot of input.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, I didn't know you were here. It's like, why don't you get up and just kick? Why don't you just kick him in the nuts too while you're at it, bro? Like, let him know his girl's having an affair with at least three men to your knowledge. Like, why not?
Who knows? Maybe he's into that. Sorry.
No, I mean, but Adonis doesn't know any better. Like, he's just, he's our dear, sweet Adonis. You know, he's just.
He's a genuine cat. Right?
Yeah, he like, is salt just. Salt of the earth. And he was, I think he was just one to make sure you're okay. And I said, he's fine. But next time, try hello. Just putting it out there. Just.
Hi, I'm Kevin.
Yeah, hi. Nice. Yeah. Hey, long time no see.
Hey, Adonis.
Yeah.
So we need to just designate G's as like the locker room enforcer, in my opinion.
He was the MVP of the whole week, I think, in my opinion.
Yes,
I think he was. Although I don't have to tell Aaron that, do I? Whooped your ass.
Slap the shit out of you.
Yeah, I believe the thing is run up, get done up. Tyrus, is that correct?
Yeah, you got he put a bow on it.
Well, yeah.
Your ass woke up in a Bugatti.
DZ smacked the ever loving piss out of me.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna own it.
To your credit, I don't think you expected it. I don't think you thought he could hit you that high.
I had to put my hands on my hips just
to get
my
balance. That. I saw that. That was unfortunately he's got a little background for you know big slaps, so
Swear I've seen that same thing somewhere on YouTube between him and a guy named Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, right. But he's not afraid. He's not afraid to throw the slap. But then again, neither is Trevor. So just putting that out there. Trevor's not afraid to ring your ear bell with a slap either. So
hey, man, you know, heat of the moment, man.
I'm just different. Where I'm from, you slap me, somebody got to go. So, you know, it was fat in France. It was if you slapped a guy, next thing you know, you're back to back with pistols. So,
well, you got him on the body slam too.
Oh, I'm saying when he slapped me, he got thrown around a little bit. I was like, well, this is what we're doing? Okay, well.
And we forget that you snatched up my son.
Who
scared the piss out of him, and I didn't even get a chance to see it. I caught it in videos.
Yeah, I snatched. I wasn't even looking. Because he went to say something sideways to me. I don't think, and I snatched him up. The only problem was while the entire audience was terrorized. Your son is smiling like he knows I'm not going to do anything to him. And he was just like
a defense mechanism.
Yeah, he just went
smart ass.
The best part was I got your youngest son to look up from his game. So that probably was the biggest moment was that his youngest just looked up like swing away, dog, swing away. It went right back to this game.
There's a photo of you holding Trevor Paul. My wife staring at you, kind of selling it. You know what I mean? She's a little freaked out. And then Cade just got his head buried in the tablet, oblivious to what's going on. And I do remember him looking up at you, going, sorry, bub.
You got to do what you got to do. I'm number one. That's little brothers, though. They never run to the defense of the older brother.
No.
Oh no! In fact, I saw something a couple days ago, quite the contrary, where Cade has a heel switch. I mean,
I play a little rough with my older boy, as I'm sure you do with Siosi.
Siosi's heavy-handed. I try to avoid it.
Yes. Well, you're going to steal, though. You ain't going to be able to get away from it. No. So with Trevor Paul, he's quick. I will frog him sometimes in the leg, you know, pop him in the in the thigh where – Well, he was being mean to his little brother, and I come in, and little brother stooged him out. He's like, Dad, he's being mean to me. And I was like, you know, I played into it, and I went over there, and I just rapped out a couple punches on his thigh, frogged him in the leg. Wah, 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 wah. Well, I go to turn around, and Cade decides, like, this is his opportunity. He goes right up to his brother's face and just whack, 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 just literally punching him as hard, punching him right in his face as hard as he could.
It looked like Rock'em Sock'em Robots because he had both hands, and he just, like, the second Trevor backed out, Cade just ran in there and with both hands was hitting his brother as hard as he could, as many times as he could. It had to be pulled off.
Here's my chance. Whack, 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 whack. And my son, God love him, like he didn't get hot. He's like, holy shit, where did that come from?
It was amazing.
Oh, man. You know, we keep trying to talk about Ego. I guess Ego's no showing us today. But he did debut. He did debut at AEW.
Yes.
So I feel like, you know, in you know, AEW's, I think, and again, Chris Jericho, I think, is, you always talk about guys passing the torch, but no one's taking the torch from Jericho anytime soon. But if I was going to say there was one guy over there that could take the torch from Jericho, it's Moxie. I think Moxie is next level. And to see Ego Rob debuting, roughing up with Moxie in the back, I was like, well, hot damn, good for you, kid. So, yeah. You know, he shows up
in our
locker room.
Guy.
He's in there with the top guy. And, you know, you could honestly, Ego looked bigger, you know. Enough taking away from Moxie, because Moxie's tough as nails. I've been in the ring with him. But I was very happy for him. I'm glad, you know, Kevin, I was glad to see Kevin kind of come back, getting his feet wet again. He's training in Florida. That's why he's not in studio with me right now, which I think is phenomenal. And then same thing with Ego. I think the best cure for a bad wrestling experience in your career or a firing or whatever is to get back in the ring. I really believe that's the only way you kind of exercise those demons. And I'm speaking from personal experience. You know, it would have been, if I didn't go back to the NWA, my last televised match would be me taking a knee and saying, I'm not going to do the Impact taping. So that's that's how I didn't creatively. I did not like what, you know, they wanted me to do some, you know, and writers or whatever the hell. But it was like new regime comes in. I was number one contender at the time. New regime comes in. They want me to put me with somebody else and like take him to a nightclub and teach him how to be cool. And I was like, what the hell is that? Not interested. So I was like, I'm out. So. And I was able, because I was at a point in my career where I could make those choices. You know, I wasn't going to, as like Trevor likes to always mention, I was still going to be able to feed my family if I didn't go to Impact. So I decided that it wasn't creatively, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And so it was, you know, time for me to move on from Impact. You always want to have a better way of leaving, but that's just, I was pretty strong in my convictions at that point. And the last thing I wanted to do was be in a club. So my bouncing days were behind me, and I was not about to relive them with Impact. So that was it. That would have probably been it. I mean, I could have done some indie stuff or whatever. But, you know, I was just content with what was going on in my career and stuff. So when the NWA opportunity came around, I was like, do I really want the last time I was in a ring or last time I was affiliated with a wrestling company would be – not, you know, ending it on a sour note. And I thought, if I get back in the ring and I still feel the same, then it will be my last taping. It will be my last show. And I think that's a good.
How many shows were you supposed to come in for?
You know what? They had me there for originally. I think it was just a taping and just see how it goes. There was no promises. It was just, you know, they threw me in the fire. Wrestling Kratos, my first match.
My goodness.
So, you know, but first shot from him woke my ass up real quick. And I liked it as much as it stung, because Kratos is one of the strongest guys in the ring. Although people, you know, people say the same about me. But it's not often when you
snatched me up pretty quick.
Yes. When he hit me, I was like, oh, okay, game on. But it was after that. And again, I physically didn't know where I was at. Pandemic, wasn't getting a lot of training in. I think we're all fat. Even Aaron was fat, but I was already fat before that.
My life.
I was already fat before that. So I guess you could say I was extra fat. But the strange thing is, like, I've never really lost my pace. I don't know if that was just from training under Bill DeMont for so long. Like, I've always been able to kind of like not blow up. You know, because I was able to pace myself not in a slow way, but I didn't feel great after the first taping. I was glad to get back in it, but by no means was I anywhere close to where I was before the pandemic. And I said, man, if I'm going to get back, I really got to get back and to the basics and get back to training and eating right, and et cetera. So my goal was, and this is the deal I made with myself, every TV taping, I have to be down 20 pounds. If I'm not, I'm retiring. So that's what I put on myself. I didn't talk about it, but and I would go in, and it was like I came back, I was 25 pounds down. Then I was the next taping, I was another 20 pounds down. You know, and then I came into this taping, I was feeling so great. I said, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to change my singlet. I'm going to cut my singlet like Nikita Koloff's and Ken Patera's. So if I'm not in shape, I'm going to look horrible, and then I'm going to retire. So I keep raising the bar to push myself to where I feel like I'm not taking up space, because if you have a name in this industry, you can take up space. They'll book you because you'll have a name. People will come to see you for about 8 seconds, but they're already paid their ticket. And once the, oh, there he is. And then when the bell rings, it's like, oh man, this is unwatchable. Yeah. You know, and to see a big guy laying on the ground on the mat for 20 minutes, nobody wants to see that. And it's not fair to the young guys coming up that they got to lose their spot or maybe not arise to a spot if you're not holding your end of the bargain. So, you keep raising that bar, and that has been my plan. I kind of see the same thing with Kevin. I see the same thing with Darty, Ego, Robert, whatever you want to call him. Yeah. Trevor, you know, you had the same thing with you. Aaron, same thing with you. When you guys kind of looked at that point where, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. And Aaron, we've talked about a lot, you know, because your acting career is starting to take off. Your writing career is starting to grow. What was it just getting back in the ring that made you guys be like, hey, I still got some unfinished business?
For me, it was I had the opportunity to go and all right, I'll check NWA out. Love the studio, love the old school vibe. And I was realistically able to get by, and people were like, oh, you haven't missed a beat. And although that may have been true, I think like physically, like I can get through a match, not make it look fake. And you know how it is. But it wasn't until I was wrestling Trevor, and it was the first or second tapings. And when you're in there with a pro, with someone that you don't have to think for, if that makes sense, when you can just kind of go and just go do this, something happens in your brain. And I think I even said this to you, Trevor, where like, that's the first time I felt like, oh yeah, this is what I'm trained to do. This is where I belong. And that was just being in there with a pro and being able to do it, you know, in front of a live crowd. So that for me was the kind of like the shining moment of like, yeah, I need to do this.
For me, I was just supposed to come in for the one taping, like you, Tyrus. And I was coming in to do a favor, just to try to help get this thing started. And it was that first match and the people going nuts and popping and, you know, coming and, going up, going down the way, you know, like a maestro, you know what I mean? And it reminded me that I still, you know, still loved doing this, and I still had a lot left in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a contact sport. You know, I played contact sports my entire life. When I stepped away from it, and I went from football into wrestling for 10, 12 years, I noticed when I stepped away from it, life kind of slowed down, right? I didn't like that. I missed it. You know, it's very therapeutic, right, to be in there and the contact and the athleticism and the sweating and moving, you know what I mean? And I, truth be told, I've been out of it for a while now, about 5 years, 5.5 years. So I was trying to, I need to get myself back in shape, which I'm doing. Right. But I don't want to go out there, embarrass anybody or myself,
Right.
So you got to respect the business, get myself in shape and get back out there. But yeah, 100%. I mean, when that part of you is removed, life slows down a lot, and you miss the adrenaline. I miss the adrenaline, everything.
Well, and so, I think another thing too is missing the boys.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. The
locker room that we have and hanging out and sitting there and just talking about life and sharing what's going on with us and making fun of whoever we need to make fun of and busting balls. And like that was a huge part of wrestling for me. Like that was half of why I love wrestling.
Right. And
you go into an NWA locker room, and at the very beginning, you automatically put up your guard because that's what you have to do in every locker room you're in. But you realize you're sitting next to brothers that have the same mentality as you, that have the same goals as you, that want the same positive things as you, and you're like, all right, like, all right, now I've got.
And every one of us has been the guy and the other guy and the fired guy. You know, the worst is the other guy. When you're the guy, when you walk into catering, everyone goes, you sit down, and everyone suddenly has to go over their match. You know, that guy.
You just one was the worst version.
So yeah. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But realistically, right, it's interesting because it is one of those things. And I know other people have said, like, oh, it's like everyone that comes from, you know, that place. And by that place, we're referring to the WWE. It's like there's this degree of PTSD and I don't get it and this and that. But it's like until you've been in that system and you've been on the road for 20 days, you know, overseas tours, and you have to fly back and do TV, and then you go home and you have a day and a half to get your together and fly back out again. Like, there is no replicating it. And then, yes, like, there is a certain kind of bond with people who have just simply been in that environment. Now, on the flip side, what I kind of noticed too, and people were making comments, like, our section of the locker room, everyone's welcome to come and sit with us. That's what's really cool about it, is that, like, yeah, we want, if we can help, other words, I guess that's what I'm looking for. If we can help someone, we're all open to it, and to, like, however we can, lending advice and whatnot.
Yeah, I think it's just the only difference is like, you know, we're also don't bullshit guys. I think that sometimes is the worst disservice you can do, is if a guy comes up to you and goes, how was my match? And you say, oh, it was good. And one, you didn't watch it. Or two, it wasn't, there was a lot of holes in it, but you just didn't feel like it. So the worst thing you can do is tell a guy he was good. And because then he doesn't think, oh, well, I'm good then. You know, and then sometimes you don't, because we all get caught up and we're just regular guys and stuff. But, you know, to certain people, you know, someone like Aaron or Trevor or A-Rod, you guys have been to the top of the mountain. So when they see you and you take an interest in them, that's like a big deal. It'd be the same thing for us if, you know, if Mr. Wonderful walked over and said, hey, I liked your match, kid, but there's a couple things here you need to tighten up, we would be ecstatic, you know? So sometimes I think, because there's also the guys who, then the other thing is, the other side of it is there's guys who, like, because they're around you all the time, all of a sudden they think they're on that level, you know? And then you'll see, like, they'll be working a vet, and a vet's trying to help them, and they'll use catchphrases like, well, everyone else was fine with it. So I'm when I hear that,
reacted the same.
I just immediately in my brain there's a little box called that guy, and he gets hey, did you see my match? Good match, you know, because it's a waste of time, you know, and so we don't waste our time with know it alls and stuff. And again, you got to earn that, but you know, when a young guy especially comes up to you and asks you. But you also remind them, it's just my opinion. You know, I don't know it all, but this is what, I would try this. If it doesn't work, then do it your way. And I think it's in, but you know, cause there's also guys who get to a certain level and then all of a sudden you ask them a question and they're holier than thou. Like, they've never had a bad match in their life, or like every match they had has been, you know, like Jesus is in the stand going, no need to bless this because this is just it. You know, none of us, every match you watch, you'll find something you could have done better. And when you haven't, then you shouldn't wrestle anymore, because you there's nothing left to prove. If you have the perfect match, I guarantee you, if you got Bret Hart and he watched, and Bret Hart was probably technically the most accomplished wrestler, he would still find things. Like, you get him and Henning in a match, and everyone else would be like, wow, that was Mozart out there. I guarantee you, he would point things out he could have done better. And that's the type of pro you want to be. You don't want to be a veteran or top guy, whatever the hell you want to call it. You don't want to be the guy who's like everything, like you just piss excellence, you know, every morning when you wake up. So, and I don't think we have anyone like that in a locker room, honestly, even. Aaron. Right. Oh, hey, just in time to almost say goodbye, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Ego is with us.
Big star!
Princeton!
Yep,
number one, I want to apologize. I just went back to work teaching. I just want to know one thing. What happened at NWA 74, Trevor?
We already discussed it. Trevor,
I beat Tyrus. Yeah. I'm just throwing that out there.
What we want to know is what happened at AEW, man. Congratulations. What a cool sight it was to seeing you and Moxie warming up with Steven Regal standing there. You know, you're in there warming up with what, in my opinion, the top guy at AEW. And that was pretty cool, man. You know, it was really cool to see that. So, congratulations.
Got that pay-per-view payday, baby.
Yeah, you did. And all I want to know is, did you cause the fight? Because everyone knows you're an instigator. So did you have anything to do with it? Because you're an instigator.
I'm just letting you know, I saw nothing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you about it later.
He started it. You see how, as soon as he came on the show, the first thing he did was try to start stuff? So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. No. But, you know, it's their locker room. They'll figure it out. I really don't care discussing it, but I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't one of our buddies, one of the wise men that quite possibly brought down the locker room, which I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it, though.
No.
Yeah. I'm low key. I always laughing about the drama. I don't start the drama. I like laughing about it.
Yeah, was this our DX tank moment where we pulled up and
Wiseman just showing up? Well, here the good news is hey, just so you know, you have no heat from Trevor because you got to feed your family.
You got to feed your family, bro. Got to take care of the crew.
He has a good job with insurance, so I think. Oh, and hey, congratulations! You got a 3-year-old. He also had. It's been a big week for Ego. Your little girl turned 3, so the fun begins now.
Oh, cool! Happy birthday! Yeah, she turned 3. She's still mean. She's like the meanest little girl in the world, and I love it. I love every part of her meanness. But yeah, we got a big party this weekend. It's gonna be good. It's a good week.
It's a good week for the Ego. So, how's Mox?
So he's doing good. He was supposed to be on vacation 6 weeks. We were gonna go fishing. Now he's back to work. He's not too happy about it. But
he's at his best when he's not happy about it. That's one of the things that Mox and I have in common is we're really good when we're miserable. You know what I'm saying? Like his miserable game is strong. I always liked that about him. You know, his book did very well. So he had a lot of good things going on. He was giving me a run for my money in the number one wrestling. I mean, he did the best he could, but he was solid too. But that's wise men right there. Yeah, but I like the fact seeing a guy who stepped out of the, and honestly, Mox could have stayed at WWE as long as he wanted to.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cool how he went. He took a risk. He went with AEW, and I don't even think he was probably the plan. You know, but he just outworked everybody. And I still think the match of the year over there is him and Jericho. I could watch that over and over again. And when I talk to Jericho, so the next time you tell Moxie, you see Moxie, please give him my best and thank him for the Jericho match. It was fun to watch.
That weekend, we actually talked about you. I said he told me that you guys used to ride together for a while.
Yep.
And it was a thing. No, like seeing him in his element working, it's a different beast the way his mind works. I enjoyed his match at the pay-per-view, but yeah, he's pissed off and he's back at work, and he cut a hell of a promo on Wednesday, and we'll see where it goes. You know what I mean? It's just a lot of negatives into positives over there. I feel.
So yeah. And that's, like I said, that's their business. We don't, that's sure. None of ours. We don't care, but we just, as long as everyone's okay. But so just so you know, Moxie and I had a hardcore Halloween match at FCW.
Oh, yeah.
So he went for what he thought were tacks, but I replaced them with candy corn. So
I love that.
He goes to drop the tacks, because anyone who knows Moxie, you can't have hardcore without Moxie. And there's candy corn everywhere, and he sees it and he pops for a second, but he tries to lay me out and, you know, blah blah blah. He ended up taking a backdrop on candy corn, and apparently it hurts just as much as tacks. So
that's great.
Halloween, of course.
Yeah, it was a Halloween hardcore match. But Dude Buster, or in AEW, the best friends, he came out as an old lady, and he legit took the entire match time to get in the ring and as a walker, and he gets in the ring and gets hit, and the finish, and that was the finish. But yeah, no, Mox is one of the fun guys. I liked working him. I liked his mindset. He's got a great mind for the business, and he's just, it doesn't matter if he's the top guy or the bottom guy, his mentality is the same. He's just going to work his ass off, and it's infectious. And I can see why he can be a threat to a lot of guys who get comfortable, because Mox is never comfortable. He literally he smokes Punk in less than 5 minutes, wins the, you know, he's the undisputed champion, and he's still pissed throwing chairs. And I'm like, that's Mox. That's him in a nutshell. So and again, I just think it's just good for business. You know, we got Trevor is you got the pure wrestler. Then you have Mox, who's technically there, but emotionally he'll go there. You know, Roman is just settled in. He's just owning the WWE. So you get a lot of choices. You know, Cesaro Claudio with the ROH Heavyweight Championship. So you just get a lot of choices right now in wrestling, and I think that's cool, man. And I'm happy for everybody.
It is.
Well, that's how it should be. Like, remember, there used to be a time where if you didn't like what was going on, you could wait for another match.
And yeah.
You had something you could enjoy. Whereas for a long time, as wrestling fans, we were handed basically the same cookie cutter situations, to the point where they were running the same angles with different people, and we lost interest. Now there's a variety.
Yeah,
and I think the golden era right now.
It's
the golden era of wrestling a little bit, because there's so much content out there for a fan to enjoy. And if you don't like this, then somebody's got something you do like.
Yeah, let's not, you know, in
it's a really special time.
Heath is over there in Impact, and Impact's making noise. I mean, there's a lot going on. It's a great time to be a wrestler, and I think times dictate, you know. The one thing about wrestling is we're always there. We don't have an off season.
Yep.
So, you know, you need to get a break from reality. You know, every week, you know, we're going to be there, or at least some form of us or another. So I think that in itself is pretty cool. But again, Ego, congratulations. I hope they realize what they got, and they do big things for you, because again, you could have a street fight with Moxie, and then you could go fly with any luchador in the building. So you're definitely.
I wrestled that weekend. I wrestled Private Party, so it was me with two like fast paced flip kids. You know what I mean? It was fun. It was like it was a good little weekend for me. A good payday. Got to hang out with my friends. Got to see Regal again, which was great. And it's one of those things. Man, I'm 40 years old, and at this point in my life, when I go, I have an I don't care attitude, but I'm still going to give you everything I got and have a great time doing it. You know what I mean?
It's usually still when you do your best work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not so like timid and scared and afraid to do whatever. So it was a good weekend for me, and looking for more, man. Just having a good time. You know what I mean?
We got to get your ass over the NWA at some point.
We do, yes.
Trevor, I'm going to come whoop that ass and take
come on, big dog.
Title from you.
Come on. Well, you get the out of here. Come on.
Yeah, would you expect him to say congratulations, Trevor? He's the biggest disturber in the history of the game.
I know. So. I'm telling you, he threw the chair.
Oh, no.
Well, Tyrus threw a table. So,
hey, he said my magic word. I did, because he said unprepared, but he didn't. You know, Trevor's a lot of things. Okay, he's a lot of things. He's a lot of great things. But the one thing I would say is that he is not what you would say a distinguished speaker. His victory speech
off the cuff
seemed a little bit inflammatory, and I heard you weren't prepared, and I flipped that damn table over and said, kiss my ass, and walked out. The good news is it scared the entire staff, so I popped for that.
That was real. Yeah. I was 30 feet from that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people got scared, guys. You know? And
noticed when you did it.
I was checking
like,
if y'all are good today. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh yeah, we're good.
Oh, don't think I didn't sidebar him that night at dinner. I said, "Hey man,
I was like,
I don't want to bring up old but did you happen to call me a bitch when I was leaving? And he was like, I thought I heard it. I thought maybe, you know, but he quickly, because again, that's not one of those things where someone's got to go, you know.
I owned it. He said,
I misunderstood. Tim Storm.
I mean, it came off complimentary. Right? It did.
A-Right. I understand you're a communication manager, major, but get the f*** out of here. There's no nice way to call another man a bitch. No.
I meant the beginning part of it.
No. And if you said my dog, that means I pee sitting down because what? I'm a bitch. No. Doesn't work that way. There's no way to clean it up. Thank you, ego. Is a misunderstanding it. And you know what? Now thinking about it, it's a little f***ed up now that I think about it. With that, it's game on. Friendship's over. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Ron Simmons in the house, ladies and gentlemen. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, hey, this has been the Wise Men. Again, happy birthday to little evil ego. And congratulations, because as you know, Trevor beat me in 74. Aaron has been approved for his manager's license, and A-Rai will be at a wrestling ring in a theater near sometime soon.
Somewhere.
But hey, writes itself. Bring back the Varsity Club, man. Bring it back.
I'll manage it.
He'll manage you.
I'm trying to come up with something here.
Hey, Varsity Club means something.
Get myself in shape first, for God's sake.
You need to. Because the barrel-chested thing belongs to me and Trevor, and we ain't got room for one more.
We're going to become body guys. Don't let it feel.
Yeah. Hey, take your time, man. I don't know, 5-6 years, we'll see you in the ring, kid. All right, man. Love you guys, man. Take care until we do this again. Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.